On the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Hello from the sun once again. Sorry for folks in Milwaukee listening after I hear that forecast from Jack. It's a beautiful day. 74 degrees and perfect here in Phoenix. Yes, we saw the final today. Yes, it was ugly. And yes, it's spring training. It doesn't count. I'll talk about that game briefly, but here's the agenda of what we're going to get after here over this next hour or so. First of all, we're going to react to this trade, not for the Brewers, but Dylan Cease has been traded from the White Sox over to the Padres, and now San Diego's got a sneaky great rotation, and Kylie McDaniel just had a very interesting tweet, ESPN prospect writer. More on that in just a moment. We'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to hear from Bryce Terang as he was named the opening day second baseman for the Brewers by manager Pat Murphy. The thing about that makes me interested is the reaction of the announcement today that the Mets have to use Jose Quintana, lefty, yes, that Jose Quintana, he's still going, as their opening day starter, of course, a left-handed pitcher. So I wonder how that's going to shake out, but I'll explain why I think it could work out in a moment. Also, a little more on, of course, the story of camp, Sal Frelick playing third base. He was there once again this afternoon, and once again, he really had nothing hit his way, which is pretty ironic that it keeps happening this way. Also going to check in with Christian Arroyo. He's a non-roster invitee, utility player, just a true non-roster, and it's a $2 million deal if he makes the club. Of course, if he were to make the club, he's out of options, meaning, you know, you don't have that roster flexibility. But we had a good chat. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program, and him being so versatile and such a utility man and a piece that the Brewers really can use for the 2024 season if they so choose. And also, we're going to talk a lot about the lineup and a lot about projections as we are 2 weeks away from tomorrow, 2 weeks away from opening day. It feels like I just got down here yesterday and I'm already getting ready to, you know, pack up everything once again. So it happens so quickly and we have a lot to get to. And we have some stuff to react to from last night's game in Sloan Park in Mesa against the Cubs as well with that lineup in particular. Today's lineup was not that lineup, to say the least. 15-4 was the final. It wasn't even that close. Bryce Wilson started. I don't want to blame it entirely on Bryce. A ton of loud contact against him. I also want to give him the benefit of the doubt. It was windy here today. I mean, it was a good 15 miles an hour sustained, probably gusts of 20 to 25 miles an hour. Yes, he gave up three homers. Two of those were definitely wind-aided that would not have got out on a calmer day. But having said that, there was a lot of contact. There was a lot of barrel against Bryce Wilson today. And a reminder, I know he's been stretched out. I know he's thrown three innings. He's thrown four innings. He's been stretched out. It's easier to stretch out than it is to stay short than need to be stretched out. So I think that will start to fold back in. And as the Brewers continue, as we've talked about in previous episodes, figure out if they're going to be non-traditional with their starting rotation, Bryce Wilson will be a very important piece. But the errors and the misplays and a couple of mental miscues in there today, and I asked Murph about it after the game, and it was an ugly game, don't get me wrong, and Murph made it clear, look, these guys aren't going to be playing on the big league team, and he's right. I mean, Tyler Black is learning first base still, and he made a big mistake on a comebacker to the mound he never covered first, but he also made two great diving stops. You're like, wait, it's in there. Luis Lara had a really hard day in right field. He looked like a 19-year-old against big leaguers. Brewer Hicklin lost the ball in the sun and led to two more runs. He bobbled the ball in the corner. A failed double play, two pass balls by Gary Sanchez in his first game catching in a while. A lot of that was not pretty today, but it's spring training. It doesn't count. And again, you know, William Contreras wasn't behind the plate today. Willy Adames wasn't at short. Sal Frelick was playing third, and we'll talk about that in the lineup segment coming up next, but don't overreact to it. Just don't. It's just spring training. Do not freak out. So let's get into this headline that is breaking across baseball right now, that Dylan Cease has been traded from the White Sox, and he's going over to the Padres. Now, the Brewers and the Padres, it's interesting because I think a lot of Picota and a lot of computers think that they are going to be similar teams. I think this obviously makes San Diego's pitching staff a little bit better, and you can roll out Cease, Musgrove, Darvish as your main three, and you've still got Michael King in there, then they've got a competition for their fifth starter right now. And they got prospects back, and it all works, and 2 years of control for Dylan Cease. And I was talking to some folks with Padres camp last week. I'm like, you know, you guys are better than the Mets right now, aren't you? And they, oh, yeah, no question. And maybe more is coming. And boom, more has come. And this also impacts the Yankees, of course, with today, if you missed it, the news that Garrett Cole is going to miss at least a month, maybe two, maybe more, as he's on his way to Los Angeles to meet with Dr. Neil Elitrosh. You know, he's the modern-day Tommy John specialist and the elbow specialist these days. That's never good news. And now the price just went up as we're 2 weeks away. Think about this for a second. The Padres and the Dodgers are getting on planes to Seoul in a couple of hours, go play in South Korea. We're 2 weeks away from, you know, the stateside home, you know, opening day. And last year's NL Cy Young, Blake Snell, and a postseason absolutely incredible performer and consistent number two, number three starter, Jordan Montgomery, are still not signed. They're both represented by the same guy. So I wonder what that's going to mean moving forward for Scott Boras in 2025 as free agency continues to come to a grinding halt. JD Martinez, what are we waiting for? You know, stuff like this is so odd to me. But Dylan Cease is a Padre. And Kylie McDaniel, again, of ESPN, tweeted this. Burns is projected to be a slightly better pitcher in 2024 than Cease, but Cease had a lower price. And a second year made him more valuable entity in a trade. But there's a compelling argument that the White Sox, after months of big asking prices, got less for Cease than the Brewers got for Burns. Huh. That's very interesting. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know about all three of these prospects that are going over to the White Sox. And then a fourth, too, that I'm not super familiar with at all either. But Kylie McDaniel says that. He has written about prospects for a long time. We're going to listen to it. It doesn't mean it's true. We're just going to listen to it and react to it. But that's the headlines of the day with the game and also the trade. Let's talk a little big picture here. Let's start making lineup projections, right? 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join the program here tonight on WTMJ, as let's start filling out the lineup card for Pat Murphy and figure out what he wants to do coming up this season. Stay with us. You're listening to Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Back with more Brewers Weekly after this. Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dominic Petronio with you. Brewers had a very interesting lineup last night. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 if you want to join us here on the program as we start talking some lineups here. Let me read you last night's lineup out at Mesa against the Cubs. And it was a night game. It was on Marquee. It was a pretty darn good lineup against projected Cubs opening day starter Justin Steele. Here's how it rolled. Garrett Mitchell led off and right. William Contreras caught and batted second. Christian Yelich hit third and played left. Reese Hoskins, cleanup hitter at first base. Adamas at short batting fifth. Jake Bowers DHing batting sixth. Jackson Churio batting seventh. He's in center. Terang eighth at second. And Ortiz ninth at third base. So once again, Mitchell, Contreras, Yelich. Hoskins, Adamas, Bowers. Churio, Terang, Ortiz. And I was looking at that lineup and I'm like, well, there's no Sal Frelick in here. But that's the closest thing we've seen to opening day yet. And I also want to be fair to Jake Bowers. This was a start against a lefty in Justin Steele. I don't see that happening to Jake Bowers. I think Jake Bowers could get starts against right-handed pitching as the DH, and Gary gets the start against left-handed pitching against DHs. That's to be determined as we get ready to chat about lineups here. You know, the only change I think you could make to that lineup is put Frelick in the leadoff spot. The question, though, of course, is Frelick going to be the right fielder or the third baseman? You could do that exact lineup and have Frelick in the leadoff spot in right field and keep Ortiz at third base and maybe put Sanchez in as the designated hitter. I could see that. I think that could be an opening day lineup. I think that's realistic. Then it started to get a little crazy. Started to get, what are all the scenarios? What if all the chaos scenarios come in at once and you do a wild lineup where they carry three catchers and Frelick's your third baseman? What if, right? So here's that wild lineup. Here's what that sounds like. Frelick leading off at third base. Contreras, Yelich, Hoskins, Adames. That's all the same. Catcher, left, first, short. That's all the same. I put Churio in the sixth spot. I put him in right, but I guess you could put him in center. It doesn't really matter. Sanchez DHing, batting seventh. Terang batting eighth as a second baseman. Mitchell batting ninth as a center fielder or right fielder. That's interchangeable. My apprehension to that is having three consecutive lefties and four out of five batters being left-handed when you go Terang, Mitchell, Frelick, Contreras, Yelich. That's a lot of lefties. Maybe you move Churio down to the ninth spot and flip Mitchell there to the sixth spot to break that up. I think that's going to be the wild lineup. And the other reason is it's going to be very unlikely for them to carry three catchers. Now, this I have Haas as your backup catcher. And the realistic, thought is two catchers where it's just Gary and just William. You know, why would you carry three catchers if, William's still going to catch probably more than 120, 130 games this season, which is a fair critique. But after what I saw today from Gary Sanchez, I don't know, this has been part of his MO for a long time when it comes to his flaws behind the plate with pass balls and things of that nature. Look, he's 31 years old, is Sanchez. He played plenty of catcher last season. His last game was September 6th last season when his season ended early because of the hit by pitch. But how confident are the Brewers with him getting to know this staff in the next 2 weeks as he continues to catch them throughout spring training? So I'm not afraid of a three-catcher setup. Let me get into the phone lines here. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Scott in San Antonio, you're live here on Brewers Weekly.
Yeah, I hear you on the three-catcher system, but one thing to keep in mind is three right-handed catchers. So that kind of limits the lineup construction, lefties and righties, as we're going day-to-day. And the other thing is, really, I get Frelick playing third base, but if we have three catchers, then basically Monasterio or Ortiz is our only backup middle infielder, because we got Terang, we got Adames, and that's the only thing we can fit on the roster. And then if we want to go with an extra backup middle infielder, that makes it so we only have four outfielders, three of which are lefties. So I see some lineup construction problems going for lefty and righty matchups if we go with three catchers.
I agree entirely, Scott. That's why this is a wild lineup thought. The other thing, and then I had tweeted this yesterday, and I know I have said in the past, Weimer can be your fourth outfielder and Weimer can play the outfield. I'm starting to think to myself, maybe I want to send Weimer to AAA, work on this new swing a little bit more. He had a couple knocks today. Get everyday at-bats at this swing, and maybe Blake Perkins can be that guy that is available in a pinch and get things going. In this example that Scott was bringing up, appreciate the call there, Scott, the three catchers, the best would be Jake Bowers. I think Jake Bowers is on this team because he can legitimately play first. And I'm more concerned about that than I am middle infield, because Terang can play short, Monasterio can play short, Ortiz can play short, in addition to Adames. Now, Monasterio is probably your last case scenario if you have Ortiz on the roster, which is why in my wild scenario, because Monasterio has all three of his options, see what he can do in AAA. If he hits his way back up and he's ready to go, bring him back up. But I've got Ortiz on my bench, Haas as a backup catcher, and then Weimer or Perkins interchangeable there. When it comes to the righty-lefty stuff, you're right, it is very left-handed. But from what I gather and what we've learned about the Brewers this year, it sounds like Frelick's going to be an everyday player, not a platoon. Sounds like Yelich is going to be an everyday player, just like he was last year, as he should be, not a platoon. So yes, I know three of those outfielders are left-handed, but two of them are going to be playing every day. And with Terang, and we'll talk about him in the next segment, when you get that situational lefty coming in to face that slot in the lineup, that's when you counter with a Joey Ortiz to come in, and he can easily slide into second base and that sort of thing. I don't think you need multiple middle infielders on the bench, and given the fact that they have so much versatility of multiple guys that can play up the middle. And now, let's just say Frelick's the right fielder. In a pinch, if you got to do a bunch of switches and get a bunch of pitch hits and you get an extra inning game or something, and hey, Frelick, can you go get an inning at third? I think the Brewers could do that. I really do. I see that happening. I'm going to stick to the realistic lineup with two catchers, with Contreras and Sanchez, and they're going to hope that Sanchez catches the ball a little bit better here in the next 2 weeks. Keep Mitchell on this roster. Ortiz is in the lineup as the third baseman with Frelick and Wright. And that would make Mitchell probably the fourth outfielder, being a lefty. And then for the sake of the handedness, maybe you carry Perkins, an extra outfielder, since there's room for that. You know Bowers is on it. You know you need a little infielder. So that would probably make me and Andre Monasterio makes the team, since Ortiz would be in the lineup. So it was tweeted to me perfectly by a friend saying, there's three options, but you only really get to pick two. Do you want three catchers? Do you want five outfielders? Or do you want an extra infielder? Right? You only get to pick two of those when you construct this lineup. Just thoughts for now in these next 2 weeks. And we'll have a checklist at the very end of the show of what to look out for. But appreciate that. And thanks for everyone who's had some thoughts on that lineup tweet yesterday. All right, we're going to talk to Bryce Terang coming up next. Got some words from him coming out of the clubhouse this morning. Caught up with him after Pat Murphy named him the opening day second baseman. Stay with us here on WTMJ.
More Brewers Weekly coming up on WTMJ.
Come.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dom Petronio with you here on a beautiful night from the Valley of the Sun. We caught up with Bryce Terang, and some people might have found this a surprise that Bryce is going to be your opening day second base. Maybe some folks thought it was going to be Ortiz or Oliver Dunn or somebody else in that regard, or Owen Miller for that. I'm not that surprised. And to quote Pat Murphy, you may have seen it on socials this week. We were in the clubhouse yesterday, and Murph said it like this: I expect this kid to take a quantum leap. And he has a lot of belief in him. And just talking to Bryce, you know, not necessarily with a microphone, and you're going to hear from him in just a second, about how much more confident he feels with at the plate right now, as far as finding his swing again and finding what's going to make him work. And he felt that there were times last season where he just totally lost the barrel, could not make contact, could not do anything but hit negative launch angles, could not elevate a ball to do anything. He got loopy, he got long. He just got out of himself, and he had some long conversations about trying to figure that out. So now, today, we put a microphone in front of him, talk a little bit about hitting, talk a little bit about his season last year, starting with what we just said, finding that line drive swing and trying to get back on track.
Yeah, I worked extremely hard, definitely did some talking with my dad, and worked hard to just kind of get back to the ways of line drives back up the middle, you know, putting myself in the best situation to do that, and just being super direct to the ball, just straight to the ball. So it's been good. I mean, I feel really good up there, and just going up there and competing every day.
He's getting there, and I think yesterday was a good example of what he can do, right? So he starts the game against Justin Steele, and the third baseman, I believe it was David Bodie yesterday, I'm not 100% if I remember correctly, but he's in on the grass at third and off the line. And we've already talked about Bryce, how much he laid down punts last season, that's on the scouting report, his speed is certainly a tool. But then he did the Sal Frelick, you know, slap one the other way where the third baseman isn't. Really impressive base hit. And he's able to steal bags. I mean, he stole, you know, nearly 30 bags as a rookie last year with a sub-300 on-base percentage. What can he do if he's on base just a little bit more? And I just openly wonder, he's stolen a handful of bases so far in spring training. He's got legitimate speed and legitimate chance to be somebody that can score from first on a double into the gap, on a ball that doesn't even need to get to the wall. I still think that's such a weapon for him. So he does that against the lefty. Now, he didn't get a second at-bat against Justin Steele. He had reached his pitch limit. But then Jose Quas came in, who's a side-armer, like a lower three-quarter slot, and Terang's able to pull one into the right center field gap, but it was tracked down for a really nice play. Now, I think Terang knows he wasn't able to do that last year, but now he's got a full year in the bigs under his belt and trying to figure out what he's learned from that, as he's now in a big league clubhouse yet again, but now as more of a big league regular. Here's what he had to say about a year under his belt.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, you definitely, I wouldn't say comfortable, but you understand. You get it. You get how the thing, like how to go along with things. And these guys here have helped a ton with making you feel like, feel comfortable. But it's been good. You know, you get your first taste, and you know what you gotta do, how to do it, you know, kind of what it's like. So yeah, it's been good.
It's been good. You know, it's just low key, man. That's Bryce Durang for it. It's one of my favorite things about him. A couple more things here on Bryce. You know, I think this was probably my favorite thing that I learned about it and what he figured out in the fact that teams are going to exploit your weakness, and they're going to continue to exploit your weakness until you show an adjustment. That's the big leagues. That's why it's so hard to stick in the big leagues. There are guys whose literal job for the team, for the Brewers, is to scout the other team and say, this guy can't do this. Throw him this. And until they, if you execute and you do that, there are, every team has that. An advanced scout who's saying, he can't do this, do this. And you do it over and over and over again. And learning how they're trying to attack you. There are ways to get better in the big leagues, and one of the fastest ways to get better in the big leagues is identify your weaknesses and try to fix them. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, but Bryce feels he may have learned how to do that a little bit faster this season.
I mean, my approach base, not really, but obviously, like, you work on your swing all the time and just trying to figure out things that you're doing wrong and how to make adjustments to that, and learning what you got to do and learning how to understand and know what you're doing wrong and learning how to get out of that quicker. But I've always been trying to hit the ball back up the middle, low line drives, and not putting myself in the best position to hit now is what we focused on the most. So
yeah,
just like overall being more direct to the ball, staying more balanced, being driving everything going up the middle. So it's been good. It's been really good.
I think he's really, I don't want to say, oh, you know, take it to the bank. Terang's going to hit 260 with a 375 on base, and he's going to steal 40 bags. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I wouldn't think a sophomore slumps in his cards. I think he's truly learned what 1 year in the big leagues can do for him. This team still believes in him, which is certainly a massive piece of it. And maybe the underreported piece of all this, Bryce Terang was with Sal Frelick and Dustin Pedroia when Sal was learning third base in December. Bryce was there too. And we asked him about, hey, I mean, you got to watch it. You got to see Dustin Pedroia and ask him questions. What was that like for you?
It's Dustin Pedroia. The guy's had a hell of a career. And you know him. So, you know of him. So it was great. Like, and just hearing him talk, it was unbelievable. Like, the dude knows what he's doing, obviously. He's had a long career, and he's very driven, and he believes in himself, and that's what you want. Like, you want that. And he's a great guy. I mean, he helped us out a ton, and we had fun learning, you know, just hearing him out. And he's not a bad guy to learn from, so.
It's no kidding, right? Multi-time Gold Glover, multi-time World Series champion. It's been fun to watch Bryce so far this. I mean, he made an incredible play last night defensively too. If you haven't seen it yet, it's all over social. It just deep behind the bag at second, practically in left field by the time he threw the ball. One hop perfectly, got Yan Gomes. Yes, I know it was the catcher running, but he still made the play. Super, super impressive stuff from Bryce Terang. So Pat Murphy says he's going to take a quantum leap. He's going to be your opening day second baseman against the lefty in Jose Quintana. But it feels like maybe at the start of the year he's going to get an opportunity to face lefties. And maybe Ortiz is going to be your third baseman for that reason. Anyways, that's our Bryce Terang segment. Let's talk a little bit about Sal. I don't want to go too long on Sal. Then Christian Arroyo will join us in just a little bit as well. Stay with us, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You can call, you can text to join in. Stay with us, WTMJ.
Catch more Brewers Weekly coming up on WTMJ. This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Let's talk a little bit of the hot corner once again, the story of camp, Sal Frelick, I think I'll be honest, and I've said this on the show. I didn't take it seriously. I really didn't. I thought it was a cool story, but look, when you've been to as many spring trainings as I have, and how many of you've listened to as a fan, and you've heard about, oh, so-and-so is working on a changeup, or so-and-so. I mean, Owen Miller was playing left field at this time last year, right? We were all freaking out about Luke Voit being the backup first baseman. We were wondering if Jesse Winker could play defense, okay? The first and the last of those lists, you know, Owen Miller playing corner outfield and Jesse Winker playing defense, those were short-lived, which is why I didn't give this a lot of life. But the fact that we're less than 2 weeks from opening day in that first week of games and Sal Frelick is still being considered for third base and starting games at third. Now, he hasn't had a lot of in-game reps, as in balls hit his way. It's been kind of funny the last few games he's had like two balls hit his way in like the last three or four games or something like that. It hasn't been a lot of test for him. I mean, with over 20 hits today and nothing was really hit in his direction, which is hilarious. But it's time to take this seriously. Pat Murphy literally called us out on Sunday before the game after coming back from Vegas. Like, this could be the best story in baseball. An outfielder learning third base. It is not easy to do. And Sal, so far, has been passing the test. Kurt Hoge and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel put a great piece with Matt Erickson, Pat Murphy, Sal Frelick, all with quotes in there about learning third base. And one of the things, I keep coming back to this, if Sal plays third, right, let's say it doesn't go bad, or let's say he's league average third baseman. I know we talk about this team being a run prevention unit and a really focused defensive club. Do you know what where the Brewers ranked last season among defensive runs saved among third basemen as a team, right? So all teams, where did the Brewers rank among defensive runs saved at third base, which is a hard position to gather DRS? They were seventh most defensive runs saved at third base, which means, you know, league average, of course, being zero. If you're above league average, if you're 15 or lower, you know, 15, 14, 13, and so on, I call it a success if you ask me, because that it was only a plus eight DRS, defensive runs saved. When I go and look at the list of all the guys who played third base for the Brewers last season, the guy who had the most DRS was actually Andrew Monasterio. Six defensive runs saved. Now, outs above average, just two, which is still fine. Brian Anderson was also a great defender, but the bat was obviously lacking. You also had Owen Miller there, Josh Donaldson there, Luis Urias there, Abraham Toro there, Mike Brasso there. You get my point. If Sal Frelick is a league average, you know, negative one to plus one DRS, negative one to plus one outs above average at third base, in my opinion, that is a resounding success for a guy who has never played third base, last played shortstop in high school, coming back to the infield to learn the position. Now, that's a success. But let's say the other shoe. Dom, he does not look good at third. He's booted a couple. He's thrown the ball away. Okay, he goes back to right field. It's not like he's not going to make the team because they're trying something new. They're throwing a lot at him. They understand how difficult this is going to be for Sal Frelick. They're throwing a lot at him. I have this audio from Pat Murphy as well. Just there's worry. This was a great question in our session today from Mike Heller. Is there any worry about the offensive side stepping back while you're learning about all this third base, right? Pat Murphy understands there's a lot being thrown at Sal Frelick right now.
Putting a lot on him. You know, he's like an option quarterback. You know what I mean? We're putting a lot on him. Yeah, I mean, I think offensively he's got to understand that he's got to go to first. You know what I mean? That's the goal is to get to first. Sounds, you know, really simple, but yeah. Sometimes very complex things get solved by something very simple. And he's got to get to first. So he can't leave the zone, and I don't even care about the numbers. He's got to get to first on a really, really high percentage of the time. That number I care about. Get to first.
Get to first and turn left, return home as fast as possible. That's baseball for you. We'll see. I just want to see more. I just want to see him get peppered at third base. I want to see like four ground balls come his way, one to his left, one charging. He has to make a quick throw. I want to see that. We just haven't seen a heavy amount of work in game yet for Sal Frelick. One of the guys in the third base conversation is Christian Arroyo. He's a non-roster invitee. He's been a utility man. He's bounced around. He really found a home with the Red Sox starting in 2020 as a utility man. Now he's auditioning for that same role with the Brew Crew. So we're going to hear from Christian Arroyo coming up next right here on WTMJ.
Back with more Brewers Weekly after this.
414-285-3474.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, welcome back. Brewers Weekly, Dominic Catronio with you here on WTMJ. Please be joined by Christian Arroyo right now, newcomer here to the Brewers, man, and you can play all over the place. So let's just start with a little bit of an introduction. Folks may not be familiar with your game kind of thing. You can play all over. It's a pretty deep equipment bag. What are you bringing here to the Brewers' camp?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, I think versatility is obviously a calling card of a lot of guys in the big leagues. You're starting to see it more and more and more. I mean, one of the people I look at is my former teammate, Xander Bogaerts, moving to second base this year. You know, I think the ability to play multiple positions, it just helps you out in every facet of the game. Obviously, if you're swinging a hot bat, they're going to find a place for you to play. And when you are able to play multiple spots, that just gives them different opportunities. You give guys that are maybe everyday starters, days off, however you want to look at it. My last couple years in Boston, that's what it was. 21, it was playing a lot against lefties. And then once I kind of got hot, I started learning how to play a little bit of first. They knew that I could play some short and play some third. So, you know, year by year, you see more and more. You know, it's a long season, and guys need days off, and, you know, injuries inevitably happen. So, you know, the ability to fill in to a lot of different spots, that's always a benefit.
So what are those conversations like when you're figuring out, okay, well, maybe we'll throw you at short, maybe we'll throw you at second, whether it be the Red Sox or any of your other former clubs, you know, what's that communication like, and what's the communication like been like here with Milwaukee of positions they're eyeing for you?
Yeah, I think that it's just it begins as a conversation, and then the next thing, it's kind of like, hey, why don't you take some here today? And it's like, okay. For me, it's a little bit different because I've been doing it since the minor leagues even. I got drafted as a shortstop. My first year in pro ball, immediately I moved to second base. I played a little bit of short, a little bit of second, pretty much splitting 50-50. The next year when I went to high A in 2015, I played exclusively short. And then once I got to double A is when the carousel started, you know, spinning around. It was short, second, third. So then by the time I had gotten to triple A, I was used to it. And then started playing some third more. Obviously got called up as a third baseman, got comfortable there with Tampa. It was mainly third and second. A little bit of short here and there, but it was mainly third and second. So since when I got back to got to Boston with Cora, his emphasis was always, at the time, we didn't really have like a true backup shortstop. We had guys that could fill in. We had signed Kike going into 21, so AC knew that Kike could play some short, but he had asked me if I was comfortable there, and I told him, I said, dude, anywhere you want me, just put, if I'm in the lineup, I don't really care, I'll figure it out. So, and that kind of then ended up leading to me playing right field in 22 a little bit. Didn't go as smoothly as I thought. You know, I tried to make it as simple as possible, but it's a lot harder than it looks out there. So,
all of Major League Baseball is a lot harder than it looks out there, to be fair. So, I mean, let me go back to as well. I think so. Last year, Craig Counsell used to tell us all the time in the media, it's almost a burden to be a utility guy because you're asked of so much and expected the same, and yet you never really get a chance to have the bat be consistent. Mm-hmm. Is there something to that, being like, okay, I'm going to come in and pinch it and get one AB today, and then I might be sitting for a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think at that point, you just kind of, that's when you just have to sharpen up your mind. You know, I think that there's a lot to be said about guys that play every single day, because that's a mental grind and that's also a physical grind. I think that the guys that maybe don't play every day, or they're the matchup guys, or, you know, they play four times a week or whatever, it's tough. There's a lot of times you want to put pressure on yourself, because every time you have the opportunity to play, you want to make the most of it, right? Like, when you're a hitter, it's hard to go out there and get four at-bats and not have a hit or not help the team win. Like, obviously there's different ways, and I think that you get evaluated in different ways, but you know, you almost feel like sometimes you don't have the luxury of quote-unquote going into a slump. And you could put a lot of pressure on yourself. I've had to go through. I had to learn how to deal with it. I've had to learn how to get out of it. And you know, it's a part of maturing, though. And it only helps you whenever you do get the opportunity to play more. You know, 21 was a big example for me. I got off to a hot start, kind of hit a little bit of a wall there. like we all do, and then had to figure it out. And I ended up getting back to it and, you know, learned a lot from that season and the seasons moving forward. So
let's circle it back to this clubhouse now. As you, again, can play all over the place, do you think there's a spot that you fit in better with this team as you, we were already past the halfway point. It's starting to get real here pretty quickly.
Yeah, you know, I just come here and I do my work and I'm doing what's asked of me and that's really all I can do. There's a lot of things that are out of my control. There's a lot of things that I'm trying not even to think about. You know, at the end of the day, like, I'm thankful for the opportunity every time I'm able to put a uniform on and I'm able to play baseball. I know that there's a lot that, you know, that not only am I still trying to kind of, not, I don't want to say perfect because perfect's the wrong word. You're never going to perfect anything in baseball. That's just how it is. But there's things that I'm working on. You know, the offseason, there was things that I changed. And just to come here and have an opportunity to kind of work on those things is huge. But I don't really look too much into the things I can't control. I got to pay attention to the things that are within my control. That's coming up here, showing up with a great attitude, showing up, playing the game the right way. And, you know, that's really it.
Looking forward to seeing more of it. Best of luck this year and hope to see you soon.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me.
He's a great dude, man. Really enjoyed talking to him. Also, he appreciated my Bad Birdie shirts in the clubhouse. So appreciate you, Christian. We'll get ready to wrap up the program with a little bit of a checklist of what we're supposed to do here, what we need to figure out for the final 2 weeks of spring training. Stay with us, WTMJ.
More Brewers Weekly coming up on WTMJ. It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, last segment here as we get ready to say goodnight. Let me just go through four little items here. Let's go around the bases, right? Home, first, second, third. Let's just go around here. Four items that are on the checklist for the Brewers to figure out in these final 2 weeks of camp. First of all, I don't know who's on third, as in the Abbott and Costello bit. Who's going to play third base for the Brewers? In the primary third baseman. Pat Murphy has been coy. You know, he's a left-handed option, meaning Sal Frelick. Joey Ortiz is a right-handed option. Andre Monasterio is a right-handed option. Owen Miller is a right-handed option. A guy like Oliver Dunn is a left-handed option, but he's probably in AAA. Same with Tyler Black, that sort of thing. Who is going to be at third base? That's our first of four on this checklist. Next, how many quote-unquote starters will there be on this team? And by starters, I should really say bulk guys. We saw Wade Miley throw a live simulated game today. Seemed to come out of it A-OK. Freddie, Wade, and Colin Ray are for certain to be traditional starters. D.L. Hall, I imagine, will too. But then what about Jacob Junis? What about Joe Ross? What about Bryce Wilson? What about Robert Gasser? What about Aaron Ashby? You get my point. Figure out what's going on there. Number three, how many catchers are you going to carry? Eric Haas is still here. He's still catching lives. Signed a $1 million deal to be the backup. I know Gary Sanchez is here, and he's got a lot of work to catch up on. He hadn't caught a game since September 3rd. He's been catching on the backfields. He caught in a live game today, two pass balls. Are you okay with him being your primary backup, knowing William is still going to catch more than 125 games? So that's number three on my list. How many catchers are you going to have? And finally, number four, is Devin Williams okay? We heard about the back issue he's been dealing with. He flew to California today to get it figured out, get a second opinion. We probably won't know until tomorrow or maybe Friday what that diagnosis is. Make sure Devin Williams is okay, because that changes the entire picture of the pitching staff. That's amazing. 14 days. That's it. A week from 2 weeks from tomorrow, it's opening day in New York. Can't wait. It's going to be here before we know it. Thank you for listening. We'll have more coverage all weekend long. My thanks to producer Max Meyerson. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.
Meet Alan.